Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. Reading from yesterday's Merging with Shiva lesson. The sub-superconscious mind is a quiet subconscious. That is actually what it is. It is the subconscious that has been made to be peaceful by putting into it a contemplative lifestyle. It's a good point to make a comment on. This is one of the key points that isn't necessarily understood or conveyed even to those serious about making spiritual progress. Is we need to have a contemplative lifestyle in place for a number of years, not just for 2 days or something. We need to have a contemplative lifestyle in place for a number of years in order to cause the subconscious mind to quiet down and start to function sub-superconsciously. It's a slow process. Dealing with the subconscious mind is like training a dog or something. You can do it, but it doesn't take 2 days. You know, you have to repeat and repeat and repeat and change certain habit patterns into other habit patterns. But you can train a dog, and the dog's behavior would be quite different after a few years because the dog's been trained. So likewise, the subconscious mind can function quite differently if we're consistent in reprogramming it over a number of years with a contemplative lifestyle. It is a receptacle for the superconscious areas of mind to permeate the physical body from the psyche so that the body of the soul can look out through the eyes of the physical body, radiate through the cells of the physical body, and allow superconscious rays to radiate out through the aura. Would you like to try to locate the sub-superconscious state of mind? Yes, right? Yes, we would. Look at the room around you. That is the conscious mind you are aware in. Next, focus on your feelings and be aware of what you are thinking. You are now aware in the subconscious mind. Next, feel your spiritual identity. Feel the power in your spine. Sit up straight. Feel powerful energy on the inside of your spinal cord. At the same time, you are identified with being the energy in the spine, and separating the feeling of energy from the physical spine, look at the room around you and become conscious of your personal thoughts and feelings. Doing this brings you into a sub-superconscious state because you are conscious of your superconscious, the power and energy and life and spiritual forces resident right within the body. Simultaneously, you are conscious of your thinking faculty, the room around you, and yourself as being pure energy. It is that easy to be in a sub-superconscious state, more difficult to remain in it for long periods of time. The feeling of the eternity of the moment is experienced upon the first arrival into the sub-superconscious state of mind. This occurs when the subconscious state of mind is in a quiescent state, a state of full receptivity to superconsciousness. It has not been destroyed, but has been purified of all barriers such as negative attachments. When this occurs, the devotee has the feeling that there is no future, there is no past, and the only reality is the eternity of the moment. The subconscious mind, thus open to the influx of actinic power, creates a force field called an actinodic force field. This is the odic forces of the subconscious, having been permeated with enough actinic energy so that the odic forces are quieted, organized, and controlled through actinic power, form a new state of mind called the subsuperconscious state of mind. Great vistas of creativity are open to those who learn to keep open and receptive to the subsuperconscious mind. Music, art, drama, and dance flow most spontaneously and answers to questions in the subconscious previously unanswered come forth in intuitive flashes without the use of reason, while not conflicting with reason. A feeling of contentment and confidence resides within an individual who has learned to consciously identify and use the sub-superconscious mind. Two points to comment on here. One is, it's the sub-superconscious state of mind is not immediate in providing an answer. It's like one of those old-fashioned computers. It takes a while to compute versus a new one, which gives you the answer instantaneously. Therefore, you need to be patient and observant, because there can be enough time between when you're pondering a question and when you get the answer that you lose track of what the question is that has been answered. In other words, if you are asking yourself something 3 days ago, maybe this morning when you wake up, you're not quite awake yet, the answer comes, but it may not immediately register that it's an answer to the question you were pondering 3 days ago. So you have to be kind of, when you ask yourself a question, you have to remember that you asked yourself that question and kind of look for the answer to see if it comes in the following few days. Make sense? It just can take a while, so you have to be patient. Whereas the superconscious mind, as Gurudeva points out elsewhere, is instantaneous. He says the answer is tacked on to the question. They're not two separate things. You ask yourself a question and the answer is right there. That's the superconscious mind. Sub-superconscious mind, you ask yourself the question, it rolls around for a while, and a few days later the answer can come. So sub-superconscious mind is slower. It's not immediate. Because it's slower, you can lose track of what the question was if your mind isn't making it a priority. I'm asking myself this question. Then you have to remember that you asked that question. The other idea that's just touched on briefly here is the feeling of the eternity of the moment is experienced. When this occurs, the devotee has the feeling that there is no future, there is no past, and the only reality is the eternity of the moment. Elsewhere, Gurudeva gives a key to experiencing that, which is to stay within a 9-day period. Shinshum, he named the BC, 9-day period, 4.5 days going backwards and 4.5 days going forward, a 9-day period. Keep your thinking within a 9-day period unless there's a real need to exceed that period either direction. We don't want to think unnecessarily about the past that's further past than 4.5 days, or think unnecessarily about the future that's in the future more than 4.5 days. Doesn't mean we don't plan. It means we don't think unnecessarily about it. What's unnecessary thinking? We worry about something. Gurudeva says, if you worry about something enough, you'll make it happen. You're fulfilling your own prophecy there. So, careful what you worry about. quite often we think about a major decision we have to make, which is about the future, but we never take enough time to think it through fully because it's complicated. So we're constantly thinking about this major decision. I have 3 job offers. Which one should I take? But we never fully think it through because it would take a few hours to think it through. So we think about it all the time, a little bit. That's a waste of energy, taking you out of the present moment. It's a wonderful discipline. And the past, certain people, they love to talk about the distant past. Well, that's okay at a social gathering. You know, you want to have something to say. You can talk about what you and the other people did, and you have something to talk about, which is useful. But you don't want to do that when you're by yourself. There's no reason to constantly reflect on the past. One of the reasons we reflect too much on the past is we haven't figured out how to look at something that happened. We haven't resolved it. We haven't come to the light of understanding, as Gurudeva would say, regarding an event. Therefore, we think about it. We're trying to understand it. So if you find something like that that's dragging you into the past, then you need to take the time to understand it, or perhaps you just need to write it down and burn it up. Get rid of the emotion in that way. So, very excellent discipline for being in the eternal now, which is an important part of a contemplative lifestyle. We want to be in the present moment. Oh, thank you very much.